For my daughter, she would be 12. Oh God, no, and she would be teenage. Oh no, teenager. I don't want to think about it.
One of the key things about productivity I've had to learn and relearn, especially this year, is that productivity is not just about doing things right, but just doing the right things.
Hello, I'm Michael.
I'm Radek.
And this is The Podcast.
A sounding board for interesting ideas and insights. We discuss books we read and want to share with you,
as well as technology and productivity, which is what we do day by day working on our app, Nozbe.
Or whatever else comes to mind.
Yeah, and although today is the day America elected president, we are not going to talk about that. We'll talk about different things. We'll talk about that at some other point, maybe.
Yeah, let's talk about something brighter.
Exactly.
Let's talk about how our lives are going. Over this year, every 3 months or so, we did a little review of each quarter. So considering it's the middle of November, I guess it's high time to do the review of the third quarter. And you know, let's just review how we're doing, how we've progressed, what we succeeded at, what we failed at, what are our plans and hopes for the rest of the year.
Especially, I want to focus on how we do the quarterly offside, the quarterly review. I think this is also very interesting for us to share how we do it, how we tips and tricks, and for people to actually do it. I mean, the whole idea of quarterly offside comes from Mr. Greg McKeown and his book, The Essentialism. Mm-hmm. And his interview with Michael Hyatt that he did for his podcast. Mm-hmm. And I really like it because it's like every 90 days you get to review your last 3 months and then you plan your next 3 months. Mm-hmm. You focus on things. So I've been doing the quarterly offsite 3 times now this year. Mm-hmm. So and I think I have a recurring theme of how I do it. And again, I actually follow Greg's advice. But first of all, so what I do is I do financial review. So what I do is I put Q, for example, Q3 2015, and then I count how much revenue Nozbe did in the Q3, and then I do Q3 2016. So year over year, to see year over year progress. Mm-hmm. A little similar how Apple when does financial results, they always compare the quarters and things. So I do that. Then I outline my goals. So my main goals, in my life right now at this moment, and there are three actually. So it's all about Nozbe when it comes to business. It's about no office when it comes to more personal development and personal personal slash business goals, and of course my family, right. as my life stuff. I mean, these are like three main themes, or let's say my main areas of focus. And then I outline where I am today and what I want to be in 5 years, which is kind of strange because it's a very strange exercise because I never know. I mean, it's a guessing game, but I do write myself, so this year I'm 37. Mm-hmm. I put, me at 37, I am doing this. I'm doing some triathlons and with that I have, like, for example, my goal is to do three triathlons a year. Mm-hmm. A few things that are important to me at 37. And then I go 38, my financial goal, my other goals for 38, 39, 40. So I did up until 40, right? For example, at 40, I have the Ironman as a question mark, but it's just a question mark. So it's a guessing game, but thinking a little bit forward, because normally I never do that. I never stop to think, mm-hmm, about myself in 5 years. I mean, because for me, it's just so much, when I think about it, 5 years, for my daughter, she would be 12. Oh God, no, and she would be teenage. Oh no, teenager. I don't want to think about it. So anyway, it's a good exercise to just, you know, to see what I want to do. For example, also in my, you know, private life, we have some ideas of some travels with the kids and things. So I also write it down. So a few ideas for the future. And then what I do is I write down all my main projects for like my main projects. I actually pull out Nosby, look at my project list, and write down my most important projects. So not like the project names actually, but you know, for example, the you know, Nosby version whatever, the you know, things I'm working on, marketing things, the promotions, like all these things that I've been working and I have as my active projects. So I don't want to, you know, say everything here because I would reveal too much things, yes. You know, too many things that we have cooking. But you know, all these things I have cooking right now, marketing wise, you know, things that I'm, you know, in my area of focus. And my area of focus in Nosby is being the CEO and being the marketing guy. So these two. So I write these most important projects, and then what I do it on a whiteboard. I have this giant whiteboard, and I really love it in my home office. And this is where my quarterly offsite is a little, you know, it's not really an offsite because I still do it in my home office. But what I do is I turn off all the, you know, notifications and things like that, so I don't want to be notified about anything. I make sure that my schedule is clear. I have no interviews, no, you know, nothing, no meetings. So for that, but I just love the whiteboard because it's big, so I can just, you know, write down things. So I write down things I accomplished in the last 3 months and things I want to accomplish from my active projects in the next 3 months. And this helps me a lot because I tend to be very critical of myself. So I tend to think, yeah, in the last 3 months, nothing really. It was you know, I did nothing. But then I, you know, I start writing, you know, in July I did this and this. Like in July my daughter was born. Hey. And then in August I did this and this and this and also that. Oh, nice. And in September I did this and this, like milestones. I just write down milestones, not really, you know, tasks because it would be ridiculous, but just milestones. Milestones that I achieved in each month. And also things that didn't go right. Ah, because what I do is I pull out on the screen my quarterly offsite from last 3 months.
Right.
So things I had planned for these 3 months. Mm-hmm. So I also review things I had planned. I compare them. And I also write down in red with red marker what I haven't done in the last 3 months. So what didn't go right, and try to draw conclusions from that. And then I plan the next three months. And then I plan, you know, next three quarters of Nosby and of my stuff that I want to do. So quarter, like I have a vague theme for quarter one, for example, of 2017, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four of 2017. So in this quarterly offsite, what I do is not only I review the last 3 months, plan the next 3 months, but I also take a bigger picture. So I look at my next year, like in more detail, per quarter, and then, you know, 5 years to come. So it's a big thing. It takes me really a whole day to do it because there's lots of thinking involved. You know, what is a milestone, what is not, and of course I try to write down as many notes as I can from things that didn't go right and things that did go right, or things that, you know, I have planned and I haven't planned, but they did it. I did them anyway. So things like that. So anyway. This is a very cool exercise because I have a whole entire day to really review my life where I am every 3 months. And I think it's really, I found lots of value in this. Things don't go as they plan for next months because I'm very optimistic. This is my fault. I try to learn from my mistakes, but you know, I am very optimistic. But what I really like about it is really it helps me take a step back and really review my life and think of what's really important. So, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. So, for me, I many of the things you say are exactly right. The same kinds of things I would do. In general, I would say it's one of the most like most important like meta life tips, I guess I recommend. It's the thing we've talked about many times, the general idea of feedback loops.
Yep.
You can't improve if you don't have a feedback loop. If you're just always looking what's right in front of you and right behind you, you don't have enough perspective day to day to see the bigger picture. And so I think it's absolutely crucial to have these regular moments where you can really take a step back, see how the last, say, couple of months went, what you tried to do, what you plan to do, and how things turned out in reality. And then it gives you good feedback, right? And the feedback part is important, because especially if you make it very regular, like every 3 months, say, then you have a very solid chunk of you can see, like, between these reviews, how are things changing? You know, what's the rate of change between those? And you can adjust, you can make decisions based on this feedback loop. Not decisions in isolation, but with the big picture right in front of your mind. And I think in general, people don't have enough time, don't put enough, don't schedule or otherwise make time for just thinking, really, for just like deep reflection. And a lot of things really require deep reflection. You can't just do it. You can't just make the decision. You have to get deeper to make those decisions. So for me, this is very, very important, and I've been enjoying doing those regularly. The process is like a lot like you said. First of all, I review the notes from the last quarterly review. I always, just create a note of the areas of focus, of the decisions, of the plans, the goals, and I review and see what changed, both like what I succeeded at, what I failed at, and also the process changes. So for example, then I thought of this like change in the process of how I do things, to like all these like systems and brain hacks we talk about, and sometimes they change, they work, or I have a new idea or something, and I iterate, right? And I try to review like all of the aspects of my life and just compare it to, compare my plans to the reality and to what I would like to accomplish in the future. And then try to make a note for this review. So again, goals and plans, and also process changes. And throughout all of this, and we really have to get back to this at some point, because this is really important. But the way I think to do it, the way I to do these kinds of deeper reflections is with a journal.
Yeah.
So this is what I meant when I just mentioned briefly many times to you that I think of journaling as a very different thing than you do, because to me it is, I open up a text editor, and I just write. I channel my thoughts, my thinking process, onto paper or electronic paper, right? And then the note itself doesn't matter. I never read it again. It's just, I write it and I delete it. It doesn't matter. But what matters is the process of writing it, because The thinking processes that are involved in actually writing something down are very different than just thinking about something in your head. And I know you know this, like, for different contexts. Like, if you try to design something, it's not enough to just think, oh, I have an idea, because it fits nicely in your head. But then you actually try to write it down, and it turns out it's full of holes, and it doesn't quite work. The act itself of writing something down, even if you're just streaming your unfiltered thoughts, really helps you figure things out. It's a it's a thinking tool, I would say.
In my journal that we mentioned in the last episode, and we linked to my blog post, how I journal with the questions and things. Mm-hmm. One of the best parts of this is that at the end of each workflow, there is the question, anything else? And I really like this question, because after I've answered a few questions and set myself up to journal, mm-hmm. what happens is that the question, anything else, pops up, like this is the last one. And then I start actually writing the meat of my journal.
Interesting.
Yeah, so like with the previous questions, like thanking for opportunity, thanking for, like, you know, these questions set me up, you know, make me think what I'm grateful for, you know, how the day was and things like that. But then I get to the anything else question, and I start actually writing, because then I'm actually warmed up to write about things. And I didn't mention this at all previously, so thanks for reminding me about it. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I do before I start my quarterly offsite is actually read my journal for the last 3 months. And because I'm doing this regularly, I have a journal for the last 3 months, which is helpful. So this is the only time I read my journal. As you said, I never read it again. But this is the only time I read it. I reviewed the journal for the last 3 months just to see what I was going through, what mm-hmm. I was thinking about, if there are any gems there, any like important information, anything there, or any thoughts that I wrote then, which were not really, really, really important then, mm-hmm. but can be important now or would be important for the future and are worth, you know, jotting somewhere else or putting into an action system like Nozbe. So mm-hmm. I do review my journal for the last 3 months. I do review it and I review my calendar, but this is easy. But the journal part, it takes time, because I'm just actually reading through my whole journal for the last 3 months. And it's useful, because then again, I set myself up a little bit better for the whole quarterly offsite. I just understand myself better what I was going through in the last 3 months.
Yeah. And like I still think that there's a very big difference between the two things, because the thing with questions and answers, that's clever, but to me personally, I don't see much benefit of that to me, in the sense of how I think about journaling, because it's easy, but it's too easy. Like it's just rapid fire. Like it's a useful signal as you then review it. That makes sense. But it's, if you're just answering questions while you're on your iPhone, that's not enough time to actually get deep and actually, you know, do like important thinking through this writing. So just as a data. Right. As a data point, when I am doing a quarterly review, and just, you know, as I'm reviewing different things and I'm trying to write down my thoughts as they pass through, and like you said, it's a process that can take pretty much the whole day. My notes from these reviews are like 4,000 words long.
Right,
but it doesn't matter, because it's not for anyone, even myself, to read. It's just the raw output of my thinking processes. But it's useful like that, because
a detailed diary of your offsite, actually, right?
Yeah, because it's not just the first thing that pops to my mind. Like, I will do this. No, it's like I'm thinking through those things as I'm writing them down. So,
all right.
Yeah. So that's
very useful.
Yeah. I think we should get back to this at some point, because I have more thoughts on this.
Okay.
And as for the offsite part, what I did the last two quarters was I went to my allotment. I don't know what's the good word for this in English, because I think it's a very Polish thing, but I think the word is an allotment. So basically the idea is that a lot of people have these like tiny little patches of land where you can have a garden or a little house, right, or something like that. And it's like, it's in a city, And there's like a whole block of them all together. And it's cool because you can live in a city, but then go to your allotment, go chill, you know, do a barbecue or something during the summer. Just, you know, it's a nice place to go and chill. So that's what I did, but it only works in the summer because again, it's outside and the house inside is not heated. So, it didn't work out this time. So I actually tried doing that, but it was a particularly cold day. And so I just got back home and I did it at home, which I'm really not used to. Like this is, I can't get myself into this reflection mode at home. So in the end, I finished the review, my offsite next week in a cafe where I usually do my weekly reviews.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about improving actually this system also on my part. Do not require the whiteboard. I really like the whiteboard because I just love writing on it, and this is so much fun, and this like gives me this expression of thoughts and everything. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you know, I'm in the same environment. Like my next quarterly offset actually will be in my hometown because this will be Christmas time, so mm-hmm. like the Christmas break and everything. So I probably will have to do it differently. So I will see what I figure out, but I'll figure yeah. something out.
I would definitely try, if I were you, I would just try to do all on my iPad.
Yeah.
Just mm-hmm. go outside into some place, an environment where you can just focus and reflect. And for me, it's mostly writing. But you have an iPad Pro, you have a pencil. If you feel like exactly. you have to draw something up to, like if to that's yeah. the thinking tool you need, then you can also do it on your iPad if you need to.
No, totally true. That's why actually, as a side note, I started really getting used to taking also notes on the iPad Pro, like all the time. So mm-hmm. I used to have a piece of paper here on my desk to just jot some notes when I was talking to somebody or whatever. But now what I do is I do my interviews or meetings through the iMac. So I have the iMac for the interviews, but then I have my iPad Pro and I write things down there using the pencil. So this is really, this process of writing things down is pretty helpful for my brain for some reason.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So any specific goals or conclusions you drew from your review this quarter that you'd like to share?
Yeah, so... financially, it was better quarter than last year, so it was good. Yeah, so nice. I was really happy about that, especially the our September, like the back to work and everything in Nosby was fantastic. Like people really responded, mm-hmm. We are improving on the product, we are improving on marketing, so this all helped. So that was one of the major like wins of the last quarter. Other thing that went pretty well was the fact that the baby that was born is a very good baby. So really, she's amazing. I didn't, she's our third daughter, and I was expecting to, you know, having, you know, third child from the beginning, you know, with diapers and things and crying and, you know, waking up in the middle of the night. I thought I'm going to just, you know, not enjoy it so much, but... Surprisingly, I enjoy it a lot, which is really good. But she's such a great baby. She her smile just kills me every time. So, but you know, she's the third girl. I'm dominated here by girls. But so that was like really a good surprise for that, because she was born, she's healthy, you know, everything went well with my wife as well, and then you know, the last 3 months like. She's adorable and we had so much fun. So that was good. One of the main conclusions, and this was like, this is why I love having this offsite, was that I planned too much, of course. I was too optimistic and I planned too much without really needing to plan that much. And the new quarter, I really tried to slim down to really narrow down my focus, mm-hmm. narrow down ideas I have for the quarter, just to focus on just a few particular things where we can make impact. Mm-hmm. And it was hard. It's hard to say no to really good ideas, you know, or postpone the good ideas for maybe someday maybe thing, mm-hmm. you know. And as I said, I wrote down all my active projects, and I was disappointed to have to really like cross some of them out for now, you know, and put them on a back burner. And it was really hard, but this is why we need these moments of reflection. This is why we require them, because otherwise we're just running towards a goal that doesn't make any sense for us. You know, we're running mm-hmm. because, you know, because of the emotions, because of like of a rush or for some other reasons. But we haven't touched that too much on this show yet, but this right now, as the more books we read about it, the more I come to this conclusion that, you know, we have this emotional part and the rational part, and this kind of retreat, this kind of offsite helps your rational brain win over for a day. Okay. Helps your rational brain to actually make decisions, strategic decisions, mm-hmm. and not be pulled by emotional brain. So really, it helps me rationalize why this I should say no to this and should say yes to that. Like, really good. Really good in this sense that, because I'm also a very emotional person, I think I'm more extrovert than introvert. So really, this helps me dial down and really focus on what's really important. Mm-hmm. To me, to the company, you know, to all of us, to my family, and that's why, like for example, for we have an idea to so spoiler alert, for example, for the Proactive magazine, we're going to shut it down, the Proactive magazine. Yep. We have one more issue, maybe two to run, but then we're going to shut it down because it was a good project, it was a very nice project, but we have to make room for something else. So decisions like that, very tough decisions, you know, something we've been living with for the last 8 years, the Proactive magazine, mm-hmm. and now we have to just decide what to do with that. And normally you try to postpone these decisions, you fear these decisions, but when you have a moment like that, you can actually rationally decide and be happy with that.
Yeah, and I'm really proud of you for deciding to let go of things, because it's very hard. But you know, one of the key things about productivity I've had to learn and relearn, especially this year, is that productivity is not just about doing things right, but just doing the right things.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter how good you are at performing a task if you're just focusing on the wrong things, if you have too much on your plate, and you know you're just trying to catch goals that, in the grand scheme of things, don't matter.
Yeah, and especially if you have already the skills to get things done, you have the habits, you know, and things like that. Then more like then really matters what you do. It's like this thing what David Allen was saying, that if you have a ladder and you climb the ladder, but the ladder is opposite the wall that you don't want, then actually it doesn't matter how fast you climb the ladder. Mm-hmm. Okay, but so in the beginning you learn to climb the ladder fast, but when you realize that you're climbing the wrong wall, the next moment is to actually reflect and make sure that you put the ladder in the right place. Mm-hmm. And the more, you know, and especially I think the book Essentialism brought this to me, that and this fact that you said on one of the shows, the zero-sum game, right? Mm-hmm. That if you commit to one thing, then you are not committing to the other thing. And to realize that you can't have the cake and eat it at the same time. Mm-hmm. These all things, they sound so ridiculously trivial, but this is so true. And we will never realize that until we stop, until we review, and until we really let our emotional brain dial down, mm-hmm. and focus on the rational brain. Otherwise, we'll be climbing along the wrong wall. We'll be trying to, you know, to have both, to have everything, you know, to have more, without actually realizing why we need that.
That's why it's the idea is called personal quarterly offsite. It's a quarterly review. That's what it is. But the offsite part is a good suggestion, because if you're serious about it, it's not something you can do in an hour or two, because it really takes, first of all, it takes time to take a long, deep look at the whole of your life. But second of all, it takes time to really get deep into this reflective state of mind, to be able to really, dial down the lizard brain and really focus your rational self, your strategic brain.
And any epiphanies, anything that you would like to share from your quarterly offsite?
Sure, but I was going to ask you one question, because you mentioned this word themes, like themes for the quarters.
Yes.
And that's very interesting. Could you elaborate on that?
All right. So the thing is that in my pursuit to do less but mm-hmm. better, just like Greg would say it from Essentialism, I am trying to find themes for quarters so that I can actually focus on... I still have to do lots of things. I mean, this, I will never stop it. But I've been increasingly impressed by many people I follow who just do one thing, but just do it really good. And they keep improving on that. And they have really good success there, mm-hmm. you know? And because I've been taught that you have to do lots of things at the same time. All my life, and I've been trying to be good citizen everywhere and then do lots of things at the same time. But the more I realize, and the more like the book Essentialism taught me, and the more I see people have some success with really narrow niches, mm-hmm. but they just nail the niche. They just nail the thing, and they just keep and they have this compound, success, because they do something and then they improve upon that, and I really love it. That's why, for the next year, I had I decided to do some themes. So for the first quarter, what I want to focus on, for the second quarter, for the third quarter, and for the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So the most important things, and the first quarter for 2017 will be about celebrating our 10 years of NOSBI, and more. For example, there will be some more teaching things about productivity, which I want to launch at the same time. I can't reveal really yet what's coming, but I want to focus. We have a few things going on right now in NOSBI that we want to just help people with productivity, not just through this podcast, but through other materials. Mm-hmm. And I want to launch in the first quarter. For example, in the second quarter, I have a different theme. But I can't reveal these. But yeah. So I'm sorry about that. But what I want to say is that having this theme for a quarter gives me this time to actually study this, be good at this, and see where it gets me. Mm-hmm. Right? And not having a theme for a month or for a week. No, for a whole quarter. This way, I can decide that this is the most important thing for this quarter, and other things are less important. Mm-hmm. And give myself permission to say no to other things, because this is the theme of this quarter. Again, sounds trivial, maybe, but for me, helps me. I need to laser sharp my focus, mm-hmm. and I think this helps me with that. And because I don't want to, like we said previously, I don't want to do something half-assed. I don't want to do it I'll try a little bit, but then I'm get the disillusion. No, I want to have a quarter for that, for something, mm-hmm. for a theme, and see how this, if I'm convinced about it, I want to just really study it, develop it, develop the process, start the process, and if this works, I'm going to build the team to just take it from there, right? But if it doesn't, then, I'm going to just close this and just focus on another thing on another quarter. So really to just sharpen, sharpen my focus.
That's very cool to hear, because actually this is something I discovered this year. Because in the past, I too would try to focus on everything at once. When I would be like frustrated at you know, with myself at how I'm doing with different things, I would try and I would have lots of energy and motivation to tackle this and this and this, and I would try and I wouldn't do it systemically. So I would think of it still in terms of motivation and not systems, and I would inevitably fail. And then I would give up on everything. And then after some time, I would recharge and try again and fail again. And obviously, over time, I made progress with a bunch of things. But it was not like I couldn't feel this progress in a very consistent way, because it would be this wave of trying and failing. Sure, improving a little bit in the meantime, but not enough. And this year it kind of came to me naturally that I would try to focus on just one most important goal for a while and then move to the other thing. So, for example, one big thing for me this year was the diet. At almost at the end of last year in December, I read this book, How We Get Fat, and it inspired me. And you know, through the next couple of months, I lost, you know, over 10 kilograms. But when this year started, I realized like wow, if this is a battle I'm going to win, I should probably postpone those other things I kind of planned for the year. I kind of decided this is something I want to do, to just, you know, just focus most of my attention on the most important area. So in the first quarter, it kind of came naturally that the theme was kind of, you know, diet. And then I achieved a goal, and I was looking for, you know, for the next thing, and that was also the time when I started going to the gym, and I was still like really concerned if I can really keep up this new weight, if this is something that's here to stay, or will it bounce back. So also in the second quarter, I focused most of my attention there. And then in the third quarter, the theme for it was the morning routine, because I really wanted to get good at it. And especially knowing how hard it always was to try, I was like, okay, there's some other things I would like to try to do to get better at, but I'll just perhaps not mute them, but just dial them down. Like they're like the second or third thing, but the most important thing, like figure out that this thing, like how can I get good at this, because I know it's so hard, and you know, day to day. You know, we live our lives, we're busy with work, we're busy with personal stuff, and there's really small amount of attention we have for these kind of changes. So I wanted to focus that as much as possible, and that worked. So I guess I'll try to continue these this themes thing.
Yeah, I mean, especially we have to realize that you know, that we have to postpone a little bit the gratification. I mean, things take time.
Yes, indeed.
And we are very impatient people, but things take time. And like the things I have planned for Q3 or Q2 of 2017 are things I would want to do now.
Yeah, same.
But I can't, because I have all the other things I have to do now, and they're more important right now. So the other thing that I want to do now, okay, I planned for Q2 2017, and this fact of planning it for Q2 2017 helps me also to have this perspective and delay the gratification and
right,
and think long term. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been doing NOSBY for 10 years now. Like, things are not going to collapse in 5 minutes, and things are not going to go extra super in 5 minutes. It all takes time. So just let's budget this time and think about this time and be more patient.
Yeah. So just reviewing some of the areas of my life, the things I tried to improve at this year. One of them was books. I decided I want to, you know, read 30 books or more this year. And it was never a thing for a quarter because I already knew how to read audiobooks. It was just like, it was me noticing, hey, I could totally read 30 books a year. It was a decision and it was done. And now, like, it takes no effort or attention to keep up the habit. The only thing is I have one of the items of my weekly review is see if I'm on track. And I have a recurring task to every 2 weeks resupply, like refill my Audible library with new books so that they're already queued up. And so right now the status is I've read 27 books this year so far. Two are in progress. So there's 55, actually 53 as we record, days left in the year and three books to go. So I would have like, you know, over 17 days per book to read. So obviously I'll go over the 30 books. I'll totally just nail this goal. So I'm really happy about that. The second thing was the diet thing, the weight thing. And again, since achieving the goal in February, I've stayed between 70 and 71.5 kilograms. So that's 154 to 157 pounds for the Americans. And I haven't had any problem with that. I tracked the weight. Again, it's another item on the weekly review to see if there isn't a trend that's going the wrong way. There's definitely bumps you can see, especially after traveling. Like the last cheat week during the NASPI reunion. It definitely goes up, but it smoothens out and goes down, so it's fine. Then the morning routine, that was the big goal for Q3, and it was largely successful. Not once have I woken up after 8 or without a good excuse, so I'm very happy about that. I'm still working on removing Twitter from mornings and replacing it with book reading. It's still like not a fully solid habit yet, but I'm getting really good at it, so I'm happy about that. Another thing I've been practicing this year wasn't part of the goal at the beginning of the year. It's something I had to rediscover this year after reading the book Deep Work, which is, well, deep work.
Yeah,
and looking at the stats, I do the average of about 2 hours of deep work a day, and that's including the weekends, and weeks when I travel, when I do none. So lately, in normal weeks, like normal work weeks where I'm not away, not doing anything like that, I can do 15, 20 hours a week of like really, really, really deeply focused work. And we'll link to the show because it deserves explanation.
Oh, yes.
So actually a quite new thing is I kept tracking the data as I do with a lot of things I want to I want to be good at.
You're such a nerd.
Yeah, I am a nerd. But it helps. It really helps. But it was just there in the table. There wasn't a graph, and without a graph, I didn't have a good feedback loop.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed that a few weeks ago, I corrected myself. Now there is a graph, and I review it in the weekly review, and so I get feedback. Was this week good in this regard or not? And if not, why not? What can I change to get better at this? And finally, the new thing, the new goal, the theme for Q4, or, you know, the rest of Q4. Is the thing I call deliberate practice.
Ah.
So I first heard this phrase in the book So Good They Can't Ignore You by Cal Newport. Have you read this book?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you should. It's so good you can't ignore it.
All right.
and essentially, the point is that really learning something is is very often different from our day-to-day work. So our skills don't improve automatically just because we practice something. We don't get better with experience automatically. A lot of things that improve our skill are things we have to dedicate like real practice to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I've never been good at because there was just never time and never the right kind of focus, right? Because you have to delay your gratification. Like it,
right.
It almost feels like school, which I hated.
Oh, yes.
But not really. But it takes a certain kind of habit to get into it. Oh, and also quite recently, I read the book Peak by Anders Ericsson, and I also recommend it to you.
I have it on my list.
Yeah, it really taught me a lot of things about how to think of learning. So it's a good one, and it really reminded me of this deliberate practice thing. Which brings us to what we discussed last week, the TGIF. Like I will try to dedicate as much as possible of the Fridays on deliberate practice and try to become a better programmer. So yeah, I chose to learn deliberate practice in this year and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.